hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday today. A lot of stuff going on still. I've got some new stuff that I've been working on all day, trying to update some of what we've been talking about all week. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. I just got a text in from my buddy Brad, who's a listener of the show every day and has been one of my good friends for over 20 years now. And he's a teacher here in Central Florida. He just told me, he says, just a tidbit of information from inside the Florida schools. School resource officers like this coward in Broward County are usually the most incompetent officers on the force, and that's why many times they are sent to the schools. One who stood outside apparently when he heard gunfire. This is known usually by the school administrators, well, by the cops on the street. I've personally been told this by law enforcement. Now, this guy's either a coward or took a bribe. Who knows? Of course, we know now he's retired. The kids in class told me today, these are his students right now at his school here in Central Florida, Brad's. It says, Brad's kids in the class that they told me today, they would love for me to be able to carry a gun at school because they know I'm an alpha male and a fighter. And they basically think that I would take care of them if something happened. And he's absolutely right. He says, this came from kids. And he says, I was surprised that they were not fooled by the CNN narratives. Students are overwhelmingly believe that concealed weapon carriers should carry at school. And a small percentage did not. But overwhelmingly, they believed that if they were licensed to carry a gun, they should really carry it at school. Remember a couple of years ago at the Strozer Library in Tallahassee, which is right across from the College of Business, some guy prances in right during the football season and just starts shooting people. And he was the Looney Tunes. And because nobody else was armed in there but him, they ended up in a situation where several people were seriously injured. I'm not sure. I can't remember if anybody got killed or not. But it was bad. And the thing about it is that anybody with a concealed weapons permit who is allowed to carry, and I think you should be 21 years old with a permit to be able to carry in there and trained. It's kind of like Grady Judd did here locally. He trained the officers. He trained teachers at the school, the Southeastern University, also like you talked about the other day, to become a deputy sheriff, so had to take the hours they needed to do that, and then now he gave them a badge, and now they can carry on campus, and I can pretty much guarantee you that is no longer a gun-free zone. So what's going to happen is they're going to look a lot further than doing that, than trying to attack a school. Let me give you an example. My wife has a black SUV, and what I do, you can order those little round Glock stickers offline. They're like $2 or $3, like they're like 4 inches across. It's basically got a profile of a pistol, and it says Glock Safe Action Pistols. Now, my wife carries a gun with her, but she doesn't always have a gun with her. But that Glock sticker is always on her black SUV. Now, what does that do? If somebody's going to attack her or try to rob her or try to carjack the SUV, the first thing they're going to see is the Glock sticker, which is on all three sides, both back windows and on the very back window and both back side windows. So no matter what angle you approach that car, you're going to see gun stickers with, you know, tinted windows. They can't see who's in it. They can't see if they're pointing a gun at them. They can't see anything. So they know that this is probably the car that they don't need to be carjacking, or the driver they don't need to be messing with, as they go elsewhere. It's like having a sign in the front of your house that says you have a security system, whether you have one or not. Just the sign alone, a lot of times, makes the person go to the next house that doesn't have a sign. Guys, it's deterrent. And that's why when these people know that these are basically unarmed areas, these are no gun zones, they become ripe targets to do anything they want to do at any time they want. And the fact that they had a school resource officer cop there who was basically refusing to go inside, was told not to go inside. Because remember, they were always also doing drills at this school. Nobody wants to talk about this. Just like the same thing at 9/11, same thing at Vegas. They always had these little drills going on. He may have been told it was a drill. Stand down. Do not go in. Do not engage. You never know, because apparently he's not talking either. So guys, just remember, all of this stuff you're being told is all being filtered through the mainstream press, and they always, always skew it to make it sound the way they want to make it sound. And in the vast majority of the cases, it's simply not accurate. What do you think, Austin?
You're exactly right. And I mean, that's the thing that I am glad Trump brought up today in his little speech that he did, besides the fact that we're now imposing more sanctions on North Korea. Basically, in his words, we're imposing the largest ever set of new sanctions on North Korea that we've ever done now, which, I mean, is pretty ridiculous what's going on over there. We're continuing to completely starve that country out. which is not hurting the regime. It's simply hurting all the residents that live in that country. But as a second note, he discussed the fact that they want to look into very seriously changing the law for basically this to go federal for teachers, professors, coaches to be able to get certified to carry a firearm. And I'm totally okay with that. I mean, like I said in the first day on the show last week after this happened, Israel does this. Switzerland does this. You don't see situations like this happening on a regular basis. The lunacy that all these little children are pushing is simply parroting what the CNN mainstream media globalists are telling them to say. I got an email yesterday, actually today, from a listener on the situation of the CNN town hall meeting, because I told you guys the other day, I said I watched part of that yesterday, and it was so egregious what they did to Rubio and to the NRA spokesperson. Well, she has come out now and basically talked about exactly how she got set up for this whole thing, almost exactly how Dad was talking about yesterday on what they do here. But I had the listeners send me in this, and what that was referred to is this has been long going. Exactly what they did at that town hall meeting is referred to as a communist struggle session. You can even look it up on Wikipedia. In general, what they do is they take a victim or somebody they're accusing in the struggle session, and they try to force them to admit to various crimes before a crowd of people who either verbally and or physically abuse the people until they confess whether or not they have done it before, sometimes conducted in small sports stadiums where large crowds would gather if the target was famous enough. Now, you look at what they did there. They had them in a 360 ring. They completely set them up with thousands of people. There was no debate at all. There was no discussion at all. They had told Rubio and the NRA lady, the spokesperson Dana Loesch, this basically was going to be a discussion on things they could do to prevent this from happening again. That was as far as it, from the truth as it could get. The event was completely consistent with a communist struggle session, the same thing we see on modern college campuses now, where swaths of far leftist young adults surround one person or two people and shame them publicly for their stance, one that's out of sync with the social Marxist ideology of the times. This is known as a struggle session, and they're going to continue the more divided our culture becomes and the more the media normalizes this. What they did on Wednesday was to normalize this type of behavior. They wanted to show everybody that it's okay to take two innocent people that have never done anything that they're being accused of and to belittle them, yell at them, scream at them, call them child killers, burn them, and every other crazy provocative terms you could possibly think of in front of everybody on national television to essentially burn them at the stake verbally. Now, what's crazy is the NRA spokesperson, Dana Loesch, she came out now because everybody was wondering what the heck happened. You know, why the heck did you walk into this, Dana? Same thing I saw with the NRA. She goes, she was not even formed until literally hours before the event's format or what the students would be even asking. She said, I had nothing in advance. Every time we requested the CNN for information, they would not give it to me or they basically changed the topic. She goes, I didn't know how the setup was going to be. I didn't know we were going to be in a giant arena with a 360-degree audience around us. I had no clue. She goes, but I wanted to go and represent the people of this country, and I was representing them, and because I'm a parent too. She said the audience, listen to what they did already. This is the real story of what they did here. She said the audience had already filled the area, the arena, and the event had started 2 hours before the cameras were even turned on at all. She said they had music playing. There were monitors that were flashing across the screen of different photos of the children that had died and all these propaganda photos of guns. She said they had a number of speakers from the school and the community. They even had the sheriff go up and speak. He even mentioned how our special interest groups are basically taking precedent, referring to the NRA. Then they brought the politicians out, and that was the very first hour. Cameras weren't even rolling yet. After all of this was already happening, after all the emotions were already running high, and after CNN literally put together everyone, crank them up, really trying to wind people out even more. Then they brought me out. I had no questions in advance, absolutely whatsoever. And it was even weirder the way they had us walk out. It was like entering as a boxer or WWE wrestler. We were walking up to the stage. They had music playing. You had to walk in aisles with all these people on both sides of us screaming at us that you had to walk towards the stage. That's how we entered. As her and her security detail walked towards the stage, members would continue to shout phrases like murder, child killer, and burn her as they were going up to the stage. And that was just the beginning. Once the camera started, you can see how the rest of it ensued. So you're exactly right, Dad, on yesterday's show. You called it out, how they completely staged this event. They completely baited Rubio and the NRA lady even more to come in there, blindside them. That's why that kid yesterday I talked about, it was a ROTC junior. They asked him to come on and to basically ask a question, and he said, oh, absolutely, I'd love to. He got everything set up. He wrote his questions. He wrote his response. As soon as he got there, they basically said, here's your script to read. This is exactly what you have to say on air. Do not deviate from it. And he goes, this isn't what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what's really going on and what we need to address. No, if you don't follow the script, you can't come on the show. And he goes, well, this is what I'm going to follow. They said, nope, sorry. We don't need you anymore. Have a nice day. And basically completely blew him off. When he went live 2 days ago and blasted CNN for this, they blatantly called him a liar, told him he had fabricated all of it, that never happened. They basically added him on there, and then they didn't have room for him, and they told him to go home. So what I wish he would have done is played his hand right and said, oh, here's the script. Oh, yeah, I love to read this. You guys are right. Guns are bad. People that have guns are even worse. I'll read this verbatim and get up there, trash that thing on the floor and on live television, read exactly what he was going to read, regardless if he got eviscerated or not, at least bring a true question up on air like that instead of the completely and totally scripted canned questions they already had. But you pretty much nailed it, Dad, as far as how they set her up, set him up, and had this whole thing pre-planned from the beginning to do a communist incident, just like I was reading earlier, as a struggle session to normalize this behavior and further push the younger generation into thinking this is okay to take one or two people that don't agree with you, to surround them with bullies, to scream and cuss and belittle them because they don't follow exactly your ideology, and including that, you want to basically yell threats at them. On top of that, this is what we've seen on the college campus for years now. This is what we've seen going on with all these protests around the country. This is what we're seeing. That yesterday was full-blown operative programming to get the younger generation fully conditioned to believe this type of behavior is okay if somebody simply doesn't have your viewpoints. But that's what I wanted to start off with, Dad, before we get into a lot of the other news.
Okay. All right. Let me give you some examples of what's happened to me with this and what you can do. Years ago, we had a TV station up in High Point. This is back in the 90s, back when we were still allowed on TV, on secular TV, that actually had numbers that basically we could say what we wanted to say concerning health and the problems with immunizations, vaccines, fluoride, statins, top 10 foods never to eat, all of that. And I remember I flew up there, I drove up there to do this show, and I paid all my own expenses. And I'll never forget when I got there, I did the show. They were giving me like 2 15-minute segments or whatever. And so at the end of the first 15 minutes, I gave out my 800 number orally on live TV. And they had told me that I could do that, and that they would also promote it on their information the people call the station, they would give out the phone number. Well, the producer came up afterwards and basically went into a conniption fit after the first 15-minute segment, and told me absolutely not, I could not give out my 800 number again. And I said, okay, I understand. And I said, but you know, I paid to drive up here. I paid all my own expenses. You know, I have to at least break even on this trip. Otherwise, I can't pay for the diesel fuel that it cost me to drive up here in the RV. We understand. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. And so at the end of the show, they promised me to give out the phone number again. And of course, they lied. They didn't do it. But at least I got the 800 number out the first time. So I've learned, Austin, that you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter what they tell you they're going to do. They're not going to do it if they don't want to. and they're going to give you that scripted information. So you have to go off script and just read what you want to read and let it fall if you're on live TV and you're not on a delay. A lot of times what will happen now, if they give this kid a script, they've got the script in front of him on a teleprompter, and they've got the script in the studio. And if he goes off script, they'll cut him immediately and go to a commercial break. So he never reads the question. He's one sentence in. Okay, let's talk about, you know, oral hygiene now. We're going to have a, you know, fluoride, you know, toothpaste commercial now. And so the kid that, so you come back to him, kid's gone. He's not even there anymore. Now, another time I remember when the Delphi technique was used against me. You don't even know about this one, Austin. I was at a college on the west coast of Florida. It was a state college, and it was about, it's got to be 25 years ago. And they asked me to come in, and they asked me to do a seminar on health because they had seen me on TV. Well, the people who had seen me on TV, they basically were bringing me over there to set me up to try to do a Delphi, try to crucify me in the middle of this big meeting with faculty people in it. Now, I don't have any idea where they had a bone to pick with me. I don't even know why they decided to do this. And so I had all my slides and all my overheads and all the stuff that we were doing back then, and I'm going through the technique. And this one woman, this one liberal, very liberal lady, who did not like what I was saying, stood up and she said, I need to see your research now before you continue on these claims that you're making that diet affects your health. And I need to see them immediately right now. You need to show us your slides, giving us the references. And I said to her, I said, I have all the references here printed on my page. And I said, what I will do, rather than reading you the book, chapter, verse, and which journal this is all in, at the end of the seminar, I'll make copies of all of this for you. And then she stood back up. She goes, that's not okay with me. I demand that you give me this information now. And I looked at her. I said, ma'am, I said, you're not the only person here. I said, I'm trying to make this presentation, which is all science and pretty dry, as good as I possibly can so that people will be able to learn from this as if I was a professor here, because I've been a college professor at this level for years. I don't care what you're planning on doing. I had to tell her. I said, ma'am, here's what you can do now. You can sit down, you can shut up, or you can leave. I said, but I'm done. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you publicly. This is Delphi. This is what they do. I'm not going to sit there and argue with you publicly and allow you to take control of this. She stands up, Austin, and three-quarters of the teachers in there with her, all females pretty much, all got up and walked out. And I thought, this is nuts. But that's why I've been subjected to that group stuff like that. That's why when they asked me to be on that group with Oprah, and I said, absolutely not. You're not going to bushwhack me on live TV. It ain't going to happen. I mean, that's the problem when you get these extreme liberals who can't deal with facts. They can't deal with what's right or what's wrong because their minds are clouded. And quite frankly, a lot of these people are in the education department. The education unions that we have in the United States, and guys, remember, I was a teacher for years. I'm talking about my own peers here. A lot of them are extremely liberal, extremely socialist. Some of them are extremely communist, and they're really pushing the mainstream narrative agenda because they've gone to liberal universities, and they think that all of this stuff that they've been taught in the universities is okay. And no one ever sat and told them, hey, this isn't okay. Neil Bortz wrote a really good book. I've been on his show multiple times. He wrote a really good book. He's off the air now. It was called The Shocking Truth About Liberals. And you guys need a little copy that you get online for a few dollars. But that was a really good book. Explains it. Doesn't matter what kind of facts or reasoning you use with them, they don't want to hear the facts or the reasoning. So if I'm telling them that the U.S. is leading the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer, and I give them the slides up on the screen and tell them what the charts are, they want me to read all of that information to them. All they were trying to do was disrupt what I was trying to do. And to my credit, thank you, Holy Spirit and Jesus, I finished that doggone seminar. I said, I'm going to finish it. And I remember the guy who booked it, he really wanted me there. He was so embarrassed. He goes, I cannot believe they treated you like this. And I said, well, I just got set up. And I said, so this is what happened to the NRA. This is what happened to Rubio. Now, what the person from the NRA should have done when they saw what they were walking into with the 360 arena, which means if the crowd had charged them, there was no escape. They couldn't go backstage.
Exactly.
Okay? When they saw that, and they saw the crowd had already been whipped into a frenzy with probably subliminal advertising, subliminal pictures and everything else of dead children laying on the floor, they should have immediately saw what they were getting themselves into, turned around and walked out. I've done that too. I've refused to do interviews. I have refused to go on live. I say, nope, I'm out. And they go, what do you mean you're out? Done, I'm out. I gotta go. And well, I walk out. The worst thing they can do is say our guest left, you know, and say, ha ha ha, he ran away. Okay. But you're not, at least you're not gonna get eviscerated on live radio or live TV. Been there, done that, thousands of interviews. Very, very careful not to let it happen again. I am shocked that Rubio allowed it to happen and the spokesperson for the NRA allowed it to happen. Their handlers, their publicists, their PR people who put them in this position should be fired, period.
Yeah.
They should be fired because they were set up. By the way, just to change topics on this, Poland is exploiting its American alliance to stand up to Israel. This is an interesting article by Andrew Corbio. It says, Poland has never gotten anything out of its alliance with America other than being used as the Pentagon's doormat for expanding NATO eastward to Russian borders and provocatively deploying offensive weapons on its doorstep. But that's about to change now that the Warsaw has realized that it could leverage its military relationship with Washington and its advantage to stand up to Israel's bullying. In what can only be described as a public relations nightmare for the U.S., its two Polish and Israel allies have been feuding with each other over the Holocaust since Poland made it illegal to use hatefully revisionist phraseology like Polish death camps to describe extermination facilities that occurred on World War II in occupied territories. Warsaw also banned any reference to the Polish nation when describing German crimes during this time, a controversial move that triggered Tel Aviv to go nuts into fear-mongering that Poland was promulgating a policy of all-out Holocaust denial, which they never did, on the supposed grounds that people would no longer be able to talk about the wartime complicity of some individual Poles in carrying out the killing of Jews. Like it always does, Israel was exaggerating because that's not the case at all. Just as the author explained in his recent analysis on the topic, but the resultant maelstrom has since taken a largely unexpected turn because Poland has refused to submit or to lick Israel's boots in this intimidation campaign. To the contrary, Warsaw has even managed to do the seemingly impossible in pushing back against Tel Aviv by going into the counteroffensive and boldly stating that Israel is clearly fighting to keep the monopoly on the Holocaust, end quote. I'm going to repeat that. Quote, Israel is clearly fighting to keep the monopoly on the Holocaust and that there were even Jewish perpetrators of this tragic event. People have had their lives ruined for even hinting at much less, but now all of a sudden one of Europe's leading countries is proudly asserting at the highest levels of its government that the aforementioned narrative was in fact the case all along and it will not be coerced in suppressing the truth any longer. Again, Poland wasn't brainwashed from 1945 to 1990 for 45 years into believing everything they've heard about the Holocaust. Guys, I'm not saying there wasn't a Holocaust. I'm not saying there weren't death camps. I'm not saying a lot of people didn't die in these death camps. I'm not saying any of that stuff. What I am saying is this. This death camp analysis has been the primary understanding of what World War II was, and World War II has become a footnote to the death camps. It's simply not true. Stalin killed between 50 and 100 million of his own people, which was small in was made Hitler small fries in comparison to what Stalin did, but nobody talks about that because he was our ally again. So what Poland is saying is, look, you guys have had this monopoly on talking about the Holocaust and World War II, and quite frankly, we're not going to let you do that anymore. You're not going to force Poland into believing this, what you're telling us, because we don't believe you, because we know it didn't happen. Remember, the death camp was loaded in, several death camps were located in Poland. So guys, it's one of those things that we have to understand that we have to make our own decision on what happened with World War I, World War II, with the Civil War, with revisionist history. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm not even telling you what I believe about all that stuff. I'm just telling you is read the books that cover it from both sides and then make your own decision on that. Because I tell you what, guys, to the victors go the revisionist history books. The book I promoted to you guys several weeks ago, I've had so many people email me and tell me they read the book. It's free. And they said, wow, now we understand what happened with World War II. And it's called The Bad War. The Bad War. And basically it goes into detail of what happened that caused World War II. And see, guys, when you understand what caused it, then you understand how the international banking cartels and the Rothschilds are basically doing it all again. Now they're using their cutout, George Soros, who's promoting all of this unrest all over the world through his organizations. He's completely and fully Rothschild funded. That's who George Soros is, just like J.P. Morgan is. So once you understand who the group is that is doing this, why they're doing it for world dominion and to resurrect their serpent god, because these guys are the Sabbatean Frankists that are doing this, that control the world's money supply, once you get it and see that, everything opens up and you go, wow, these guys are really awful. Well, yeah, they're Satanists. They are. They're really awful. They worship Lucifer, and a lot of them drink baby blood and kill children. I mean, that's who these clowns are. This is not a game to these guys. They were willing to do anything they possibly can to control and dominate planet Earth, Austin. So I wanted to bring that story up since we broke this story several weeks ago. It's now starting to hit press everywhere. So there you go. Just wanted to bring that up from another perspective, son. What are you thinking? What's your next story?
That's great info, man, because people have to understand what they're trying to do psychologically to everybody. CNN now, in reference as far as in quoting what these kids are saying now, are now referring to the NRA as the child killer NRA. I quid you not. That's what they're putting in quotations now, referring to the NRA basically endorsing, promoting, and being involved in killing children. The crazy aspect of it with the NRA, the only thing the NRA has ever tried to do is maintain the Second Amendment for the citizens of this country so we can maintain our own security and freedom. The NRA has killed zero people today. There's nobody that can even argue with that. And the NRA receives $0 in taxpayer funds, by the way. They are all self-funded by donations. That's why they always want you to donate. What's funny to me is at the same time, these kids are calling NRA child killers, literally, verbatim. Nobody even wants to bring up the fact that Planned Parenthood, and you can look this number up, kills over 800 babies per day, on average about one baby every 2 minutes in the United States, and at the same time receives $500 million in taxpayer funding every year. Yet we're lambasting the NRA as calling them child killers. At the same time, we're giving almost $500 million a year, forced from the taxpayer fund out of our pockets illegally, to fund almost 900 abortions every single day. Yet nobody wants to discuss that on mainstream media. Nobody wants to discuss what is going on with these SSRIs and these benzodiazepines and these opiates and all these other pharmaceutical drugs that are being pushed like candy to these children. Let's not discuss anything else like that that's going on. Let's simply blame the inanimate object, the firearm, that literally sits there all the time and can never be used for anything unless it's picked up and loaded. So I just thought I'd get a kick out of that, Dad. Not this is funny, but just ironic because of what they're trying to push right now. Everybody, I'm glad, though, like you said, Brad earlier, our buddy Brad, his kids over there that he's talked to are definitely all about concealed carry. And if I was a student, I'd feel the same way. Even if I didn't know anything about guns, just take my mind out of it from a basic, naive child that has no idea on guns. Would I rather try to ban law-abiding citizens from having guns all across the country, which logistically would be a full-blown nightmare to anybody that has a brain to even try and think like that? Or would I rather have the professors and teachers and coaches that I know, that I felt that they were strong alphas, that they were strong alpha females or males, that they knew how to handle themselves, that maybe were prior military or LEOs, and they said, hey, yeah, I'd like to carry a firearm, I can handle myself accordingly with so? I'd say, absolutely, man. I'd much rather have you carrying a gun instead of banning everybody else from having guns, because the same type of people can still get guns, still come into school, and still shoot people as much as they want. What's crazy to me is that I saw an article today, and I've read it before, but I didn't realize he said this, from William Cooper, the book Behold the Pale Horse. I think you've mentioned that before, Dad, haven't you?
I have, yeah. That's actually an interesting book. I can't say I agree with everything that's in it, because I don't. But that's a very, very interesting book, and Bill Cooper wrote that book, and William Cooper, and then, of course, he was shot to death, and so that's a horrible story that happened to him. But he had a few things to say in that book that were pretty controversial. Some of it, like I said, I don't agree with. Some of it, he was right on, dead on point. I've read the book, and like I said, it's an interesting read. I don't burn books. What I don't read is this. I don't read books about Satanism and weird stuff like that that starts getting into casting of spells and all that. I don't want that stuff in my head. I don't want those words in my head. I don't want to see the stuff with it. I won't read that stuff. I won't do it. But when it comes to really interesting books that are being written by people that have particular views that may or may not agree with me, that don't get really weird or off the track, I don't mind reading those and learning more about what they believe and what they think. So yes, I have read that book, and I would suggest that people could read the book. I believe that book's available on his website, because his website's still active, along with a whole bunch of other books and a bunch of audio series that are still on his website, which are phenomenal, Austin. So what do you read, and what's your quote from there?
Well, pretty much from what I read a big chunks of his book today on some of it, because I was very curious, because I saw that he was in the Air Force, then he basically was honorably discharged in 65, then enlisted in the U.S. Navy. He served in Vietnam. He basically was rewarded a Medal of Combat Valor, Navy Achievement Medal, honorably discharged in 74. Guy saw a lot of stuff, and he wrote in there in the one chapter, this is back from 1991. This is what was so kind of dark when I read this today. 1991, we're talking almost 30 years ago, back before school shootings were even a significant thing, really as big and much as they've exploded now. And that's what a lot of people have asked. Why have school shootings exploded so much over the last 20 years? It's not that guns just got involved. Pre-86, you didn't see guns going on like this. You didn't see shootings going on like this. And you could go buy legal machine guns from the doggone gun store. I mean, belt-fed machine guns, and pay a tax stamp and have it within a month or two. Well, and I digress, but 1991, his book, Behold a Pale Horse, in the chapter called The Secret Government, I mean, this guy was in the military. He was involved in a lot of different stuff. He said, and I quote, "The government has now encouraged the manufacture and importation of firearms specifically for criminals to use." Not talking about law-abiding citizens. Bringing guns in, like Fast and Furious, for criminals to use. "This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms, using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion. The CIA pushed the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is starting to beg the government to do away with their Second Amendment." Now, if you guys remember, in 1994, Clinton passed the assault weapons ban. This is creepy because this is a 30-year-old book that this guy wrote, and we're actually seeing this come into full-blown fruition now, almost verbatim of what he's saying. Now, am I saying every single school shooting, the CIA mind control op? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is all the stuff we're watching now, all the stuff we're seeing unfold, and the background of it, and how some of this stuff isn't even plausible, and then turning around, and after the situation occurs, we blatantly see these psychops and mind control communist usages like they did on CNN the other day, kind of start tying in together with some pretty weird stuff, Dad. But when I read that excerpt from his book today, I thought that was very, very weird.
Well, he also, I got to be careful how I say stuff, because I know a bunch of stuff I can't talk about. He also pointed his finger at many alternative talk show hosts before he was killed, saying that they were basically CIA, Mossad, and that they were basically COINTELPRO. And he basically called them out by name, multiple ones, which I'm not going to do. And I know that that's true. I know that by the research that I've done and the people that I've spoken to, that some of these people have been bought and paid for by Mossad, by CIA. I can't go any further because I can't give you any information about this, but it's just, you got to be really careful who you hear and who you listen to. If they won't talk about the Sabbatean Frankists, if they won't talk about the Rothschild banking cartel, if they won't talk about Israel's aggression towards Palestine or what they're doing with Poland now, if they won't talk about what's going on with the immigration policies in Europe, and they kind of gloss over all that stuff, and if they really don't want to talk about the drug running out of Afghanistan, chances are that they're being handled. Now, I'm not saying completely controlled, because a lot of times they let them give out information they want to give out, but every so often they've got to change the narrative a little bit and twist the story a little bit to make sure that these people that are their handlers are keeping them in line with what they want going out, especially if their shows get bigger and bigger and bigger. If I know you guys personally, I'll talk to you about that, but I won't talk about it on the air. So it's interesting to me that Cooper was calling these people out and ends up getting himself killed. And again, the German TV anchor who called out the CIA and said all the major people on German TV and the news are all control and CIA employees. Of course, he was dead a couple of years later. They had him killed. And this just happened last year, he died. And so it's one of those things that we have to understand, that This is how the globalists manage the mindset of the people out there. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to, Austin, who say, you and Austin, Haglund, Sheila, Hodges, Quayle, you guys are like the only ones that talk about this stuff. You know, nobody else touches it. You know, now there may be some alternative people that I don't know about who are touching it. I'm not saying that everybody doesn't go into it, but these are the ones that I know about. The problem is this, and I can say it this way too. If I want to get the biggest audience that I can possibly get, I have to avoid controversial topics. What do you mean by that?
Yes.
I can't talk about Israel because there are a lot of Zionists that listen to alternative radio, and they believe in the rapture. They believe that we're not going to be going through the tribulation. They believe that, you know, they're going to resurrect the Antichrist, and he's going to rule from Jerusalem. They believe that. They've been taught that in their Baptist churches now for the past 170 years, and they believe all of that stuff. So when I go against that grain, it basically grieves a lot of people, and they go, well, we're not going to listen to the show anymore. And I mean, and you ask Austin, we first started talking about this stuff, we started getting emails immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. When I talk about Donald Trump, I'll say this again. I thank God Almighty on my hands and knees that he's president and Hillary, the Witch of Benghazi, is not, or the communist Bernie Sanders is not. I mean, I'm just so thankful to God that he won, because at least we have a semblance of some type of normalcy from at least the Second Amendment and from nationalism and all this other kind of stuff. But we wouldn't have had that with Hillary. Now, do I agree with everything Trump has done? Absolutely not. But he has done a lot of stuff, and we've read him on the air before, that is beneficial for all of us. Now, if he'll go in and allow federal law to arm a certain percentage of people that are trained as far as with weapons, that are teachers in the school system like Southeastern University did, it'll change everything like they already do in Israel. Okay, it'll change everything. So we have to just watch and see what he's going to do, because remember, he can't just do what he wants to do. We have a three-check government. We got the Congress, we got the judicial, and we got the executive branches. He can't just go running around doing everything. Unlike Obama, who does the DACA program, and everybody says, okay, it was completely unconstitutional. He's not doing stuff like that. They kept giving Obama passes with all these incredibly liberal Supreme Court judges. I mean, I'm surprised, and I'm going to say this, this will make some of you guys mad, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I'm surprised that the Supreme Court judges who saw what was going on, and also with the federal court judges who saw what was going on with Obama and Michelle and refused to act, I'm surprised they weren't doing Sieg Heil to Obama over and over and over again as their Führer, because guys, this thing is absolutely crazy what they allowed that doggone gay Kenyan to get away with. Austin, IRS gate, Fast and Furious, all of this stuff. And so the problem is this mainstream group of these people that you see now, these fascists or communists or these people who want to have, you know, this entire country shaken to pieces, primarily the communists, who were in that meeting the other night going against the NRA spokesperson. These are the people they used this dull mindset of people to do the entire Russian Revolution. They brought some key people in to instigate it and get it fired up, and they allowed that doggone country to go completely into the pit because of this agitation that was being done by these communists, by these socialists, by these collectivists, by these weirdos, if you want to call it that. And if you look at what's going on in that book of the Elders of Zion, which we have no idea where that book came from, but it's pretty much the format the New World Order is using. If you read all of that stuff, you think, wow, this is crazy. This is exactly what they're doing. They're subverting our culture. They're basically turning groups against groups. This whole transgenderism, now the military is coming back out now, and these top people in the military are telling Trump he needs to embrace these transgenders in the military, which they completely and totally went against his orders and started bringing these transgenders back in again, Austin. I mean, this thing is so being fought out now by these two forces that are trying to control the United States. And we're going to find out which one of these forces is going to win. Now, I'm not saying that either one of these forces is being led by the Most High God. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that these forces are like two bad groups of people trying to fight them. It's like having two Luciferians fighting each other to find out who's going to have the final rule. That's kind of like what's going on here with this New World Order and with Trump. Now you think, well, that's kind of a harsh statement to make, Ted. I'm being serious here right now, okay, guys? We don't know what the heck's going on, because we see Trump trying to do his best, like bringing what he's doing with all of the stuff with trying to kill the DACA, do all of this, getting us out of all these trade treaties and everything else. But then we turn right back around and watch him put Gottlieb in to the FDA. We watch him turn right back around and say he needs more gun regulation and all that. Now he's talking about, you know, psychiatric evaluation during background checks. Guys, they could make anybody not psychiatric capable of having a background check completed and passed. They could say to you, have you ever had a bad thought? Well, yeah. Have you had a bad thought more than the last month? Yeah. All right, you're not psychologically fit to have a gun. But,
yep.
But it was a bad thought. I didn't like the neighbor's cat. The cat was meowing. It was jumping on my car and basically urinating on my car in the middle of the night. I didn't like that. Doesn't matter. You can't have a gun. But I didn't do anything to the cat. That doesn't matter. You're not stable. I mean, are you kidding? They can make this any way they want to do it. So you guys are like we are. You know, we're trying to do the whole thing from both directions at the same time. Now, I do know that Trump has a lot of really godly people praying for him, and they were at one time, whether they still are or not, regularly going into the White House and into the Oval Office and praying for him and laying hands on him. I know he has that. So I know there's a battle going on within Trump himself as far as what he will and won't allow to have happen. So again, at least he's fighting this system. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. But again, Hillary Clinton was the system, guys. The
yeah.
Rothschilds gave her money for her doggone stuff that she was doing. I mean, all of what she was going to do was to push this Rothschild, fascist, Nazi, New World Order into existence. Now, I'm not talking about the parts of the Nazi realm with Hitler, like getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank or building interstate highways that he actually was voted Time Magazine Man of the Year for. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the bad stuff that happened in Germany during and after the war, that system of control of everybody, that they would come in the middle of the night and take you or your family and your children away, and you had no choice of the matter. That's what they want. Okay? It's like total, complete, just slavery, a feudal system reinforced. So we've got to understand that we've got two forces. If you read the book, The Unseen Hand, Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, read both of his books, his unfinished book and Pawns in the Game book, and also Red Cloud Over America. Those three books, they're all free online. If you understand those books, and you also read Topper Sossi's book, the basically Rulers of Evil, that book is really good, by the way. That's an amazing book. That goes all the way back to Egypt and brings it all the way forward. If you read those books, you'll see what I mean by these two forces fighting. Because, guys, remember, the Bible says that the God of this world is Lucifer. It says that. We've covered that before. We've talked about that. I mean, it says that. I mean, when Satan offered this kingdom of earth, these cities, this kingdom of earth, to Jesus, he said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this stuff. Well, he can't give something he doesn't know. I mean, he's been controlling this since the Garden of Eden, when basically Adam and Eve kind of blew the contract and basically handed this stuff over to him. Okay? That's what happened with Genesis chapter 6. But the Most High God, Yahweh, he's watching all of this stuff. And it's kind of like he knows where this line is drawn. And that's why Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when I return again. Because remember, in the days of Noah, he had enough of it. God did, Yahweh did, Yeshua did. And they said, that's it, we're done, we've had Ganook, we're past all this now. We are now going to just get rid of all of this Nephilim DNA and all this crazy stuff these fallen angels and these other entities have done on this planet Earth. So guys, he may have the ability to do all of this, and he may strike the heel, it says in the book of Genesis. But in the end, God's going to have him. He's going to crush him. And that's what's going to happen. We have just found ourselves in this cosmic thing going on right now on planet Earth, and we have to understand this is not a battle of flesh and blood, but of all of these things in these upper levels, these different dimensions, these principalities that we don't understand, that we can't see unless God gives us insight to see it. So we've got all of these battles now being fought right now for planet Earth and control of it. Control of the oil, control of the technology, control of the infrastructure, control of the doggone utility bills every month. I mean, this is who these guys are, and they're constantly doing everything they possibly can to destroy what God has made on this planet, including the eradications of thousands, if not millions, of species of plant and animal already, because they want to destroy everything God has made, because they hate Yahweh that much, because they can mimic what he does, they can adulterate what he does, They can change what he does, but they can't create life. And they know that, and it's got these guys ticked off, and they absolutely hate us because he made us in his image. So not only do they hate us, they're jealous of us on top of everything else, and that's why this is all going on. So you've got to keep this thing from a spiritual standpoint. This world is never going to be paradise here on earth. It's not going to be that because of the forces of evil that are all around us. That's why the Word tells us every day we're to put on the armor of God, because we're going into a battle place. That's why you've got to plead the blood of Christ over you and your family. That's why I pray for you guys every single day. That's why you've got to station angels all around you. You've got to put a hedge of thorns around you. You've got to have continual protection for all this crazy nonsense that's going on around us, because it's as real as the world that we see. The difference is we simply can't see it. If there's a really good book that was written back in the 80s, I think it was called This Present Darkness. Everybody needs to read that book too. And that'll give you an example of just what this author thought the unseen realm was like around us. Don't you remember when God opened the prophet's eyes and he saw, or the one servant of the prophet, and they saw all these angels standing around the hills? And the greater is he who is in with us than he is in the world. That's what we have here. And we have to understand who and what we are. But these forces of evil right now are doing everything they can to destroy the United States, to bring us right back to Genesis chapter 6, back into a one world government, back to their little thousand points of light, back to a new world order, all under Lucifer. And we've got to do everything we can in the aggregate, including shows like this, to tell the people the truth so we can prevent that, Austin. So sorry for that long expose, but I really want to cover all that battle stuff that was going on around us right now.
No, that was great info, man. I mean, that's what we do the show for. I mean, we got to keep everybody informed of what's really going on. I mean, also, too, I just pulled up a minute ago, and it's kind of disappointing now. Pentagon Chief James Mattis, retired Marine, is now urging President Donald Trump to embrace the gender identity claim now in the military. So I don't know if this guy has been had. I don't know if he's been compromised. I'm assuming he has. Most of these guys, when they get to that top level, they don't get to that level without having some type of blackmail on them. The article, I mean, the day off Breitbart, it says Defense Secretary James Mattis is expected to propose to President Trump the transgender members of the U.S. military be allowed to continue serving, despite the president's call last summer for a ban on all transgender service members, said Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, is testifying before the Senate Armed Service Committee last fall, said transgender troops already in the military have served with honor. He said, I believe any individual who meets the physical and mental standards and is worldwide deployed and is currently serving should be afforded the opportunity to continue to serve. Now they're saying that any endorsement of the transgender claim would have a huge national impact beyond the Department of Defense in its vast school system. For example, Trump's Department of Education has rejected the pro-transgender policy set in place by former Obama, which were imposed that transgender ideology on schools nationwide, basically forcing everybody to comply with the ridiculous bathroom laws and everything else. Now, basically, Mattis is coming out and saying that he thinks Trump needs to essentially support it, and that he needs to allow it to be okay. They said if Trump accepts Mattis's pro-transgender policy, he will not be able to use the basically issue in the 2020 election at all, first off, even as transgender activists push judges to impose these policies on the books. And so what we're seeing now is the weird aspect of this. Now, if you have somebody, and I get what they're trying to push, but what Mattis has taken a step further is allowing these guys, not even put a cap on it, is that if you have somebody that's currently active in the military, they're fully deployed, they aren't causing any issues, they deal with their own selves in the military, and they're really mentally messed up, they have transgender, you know, dysmorphia, whatever the term is that they like to refer to it as, and they want to stay in, I'm kind of like, whatever. But when you start promoting from the executive branch, like Obama did, that basically it doesn't matter what you believe, if you're a girl one day and a guy one day, it doesn't matter what you want to be, you can enlist in the military, and we'll go even a step further, we'll pay for your surgery to change you the gender that you want. That started a whole cascading series of events with a lot of these guys enlisting in the military simply for that sole purpose. is, and that is not something that I am okay with whatsoever. So if this needs to have some more clarity on it, what Mathis is saying as far as if he just wants to allow people that are currently deployed and active, or if he wants to completely open up the floodgates to all these millennial and Generation X weirdos to enlist in the military for the sole purpose of basically claiming they're transgender. That's a whole other issue that I'm not okay with, that I really hope that Trump does not capitulate with that.
I hope so too, Austin. Now, here's another article here from E.J. Griffin. It says, 12-year-old threatened by schoolmates for being white. Oh, gosh, this is awful. Philadelphia, Joseph Messina, a 12-year-old 7th grade honor student at Mastery Charter Thomas Campus, was attacked and beaten by 6 other students. Several weeks later, racial threat was spray-painted on his home that read, "Die, Cracker," an epitaph often used by blacks against whites. "We hesitate to carry this story because we do not want to be part of a process that leads to hatred, race hatred. However, the father of this boy clearly is so angry that it appears he is ready for violent retribution. Our enemies are masters of divide and conquer, and such action, while easy to understand on the part of the father, would play into the hands of the enemies of both races, that we want race war and martial law to place the final clamp down on America. Yet this event really happened, and we are now under obligation to report it honestly and objectively. However, we fervently hope that our readers will not step into the trap of counter hatred and violence." 6 guys attacked him and beat him. Now, guys, golly, that's just not okay. All right, a little 12-year-old kid, basically a 7th grade honor student, probably angry that he knew something they didn't know in class or whatever, or he basically didn't cow down or wasn't trying to be scared of them. You know, this kind of stuff has been going on in schools for a long, long time. And it's not just blacks against whites, or whites against blacks, or blacks against blacks, or whites against whites, or whatever. It's just bullies against people who don't want to be bullied. And I can't stand bullies, Austin. They nauseate me, because when they get a group, 4, 5, or 6 people have to jump on one kid, it's absolutely awful to me that these guys, whether they're black, white, purple, green, or indigo, are able to do this and get away with it. And why have we not heard anything about this on national news? Guys, this stuff has to stop. And Griffin's right about this. We have to understand that we can't allow ourselves to be caught up in a narrative of believing this stuff and thinking it's okay to act like this, regardless of what happens. There is never an excuse for people to have 6 people jump on one person. It's just not okay. And quite frankly, I feel sorry for this kid. I feel sorry for his dad. And if I was his dad, I'd be absolutely livid also. But quite frankly, it's one of those things that's been going on for a long, long time, Austin. I remember a couple of years ago, I'll never forget, we were driving around over in Auburndale, and there was a kid who was picking on another kid in the park, and you thought they were just wrestling. I'll never forget this. And this is like 3 or 4 years ago, and I remember we pulled up to the park. About the time we pulled up, this one kid just hauls off and cold cocks this other kid. There's 4 or 5 other kids watching, and just has the kid down on the ground, just beating him. He had him, the kid was laying on his stomach, and just beating him in the back of the head. He was totally helpless, couldn't do anything. The other kid was obviously the clear aggressor. Now, this was white-on-white crime. Let me be clear about that. There wasn't any racial involvement. It was white-on-white or white. I remember I pulled over, and you thought they were wrestling. I said, these aren't wrestling. This is going to go hot. And I remember you jumped out of the truck, and I remember you were working out really hard back then, and you still are. And I remember you jumped out and said, told the one kid who was on top, "It's time for you to go home, boy." And I remember he jumped up, saw you, took off running. Guys, this is what we have to do every single time. We can't allow this type of just unbridled violence to take over our society, which is exactly what these kids have learned in these doggone video games they watch, this all this killing on these video games they do and beating people up all the time. We have been programming the mind of the youth of this country for over 20 years now with video games now that are so real, it feels like you're actually in that battle scene. So guys, be very, very careful what you let your kids watch. And monitor your children. Make sure they don't get picked on, but make sure they don't pick on other kids either, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that type of stuff should be uncalled for. That's one thing I've always grew up, you know, when you taught me that, is there's no excuse to go out and pick a fight with somebody, period. There's never an excuse. They used to always tell me that. If you go out and you start getting a fight, when you come home, you're going to be in trouble. Now, if you go out and somebody starts picking on you or you see somebody else getting picked on, you better doggone well defend them and help them out as well, especially if it's an uneven fight, or you're going to be in trouble when you get home too. And so I've always held that to be true is, you know, if you're out somewhere and you see somebody that probably can't handle themselves that well, you know, and something looks like it's starting to escalate or it already is escalating, you really need to get involved in it and break it up. Now, if it's some, you know, brother on brother thing and they're mad at each other and they want to have a boxing match and wrestle on the ground, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you see a kid with six bullies around him beating the crap out of him. You better darn well get in the middle of that and start sucker punching everybody, because when it's 1-on-6 and now it's about to be 2-on-6, there are no rules anymore. You're not in MMA, we're not in jiu-jitsu, there are no rules. It's that right there in Florida is textbook in fear of your life. If you are one person and six people are beating you up, you have, if you're over the age of 21 and you have a concealed carry permit and the ability to carry one, you have the ability to legally use deadly force at any given time if you feel like your life is in danger. And at that point, if I had six people jump on me somewhere in a park or down the sidewalk, I wouldn't hesitate to pull my firearm on all of them at that point, because I don't care how skilled of a fighter you are. It looks great in Hollywood movies. You get the first person that sucker punches you behind the back, the next person hits you in the knee, the next person sucker punches you in the face, you're out of the game. You're done. And then they get on top of you and they just start kicking you and stomping you. Everybody's seen the videos. That's what really happens in a fight like that. Now, if you're really skilled, you may be able to defend yourself from the first one or two guys, but as soon as you cold cock one or two other guys, somebody's going to hit behind you. It's like Dad said before, as soon as the NRA spokesperson and Rubio walked into a 360 arena, they should have backed out. It's exactly what he said. You never want to be in a position where you're surrounded in a 360 position of attackers. That's a very, very bad place to be. You can get out of it sometimes, depending on how skilled you are in your techniques and your weapons and your fighting skills, but that is not a position you want to voluntarily walk into, because in most cases, it usually never goes good. And that's why if you see somebody in a position like that, you need to stand up for them and help them get out of that scenario, or else in my opinion, you're basically being negligent as your duty as an American citizen helping one another down.
Wow. Well said, Austin.
Hey, guys, I love you. Have a great weekend. I'm going to be on Hodges on Sunday night, so you guys can listen to that. Love Dave's show. I think we're going to be on like 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Hodges, and I think, or 8 p.m., I don't remember. One of those times. My show comes on before his show anyhow every Sunday night. As far as the best show of this week, always plays before Hodges. I appreciate you guys. I love you. Thank you so much for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for listening. And just, guys, keep up the good fight. Keep praying. Keep stationing those angels. Keep doing what I tell you to do as far as how to pray and how to do this. Not because I've got all the answers, but guys, you know, we've all got to work together. We've all got to be synergistic in our approach towards all this, because remember, you know, we can send 10,000 to fly if just a few of us are praying. And guys, it's so important to keep praying, because these enemies have no ability to stand against the cross, against the blood of Christ, against Yeshua, or against Yahweh. I love you guys. Again, thank you for your support. I got to pray for you guys again this morning. It's always my privilege. I'll do the write-up, Austin. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you for the support. Healthmasters.com. If you need anything at all, we're here for you. Superfood Complete is on sale for 25% off on the website. You guys have a blessed, safe night and an awesome weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.